You know, the home building market in this area has been hot, incredibly hot, for a very long time. Now, we've gotten some reports lately that it is slowing down, but, you know, from what level? Tony Ruggieri is the co-CEO of a public property group. They build not houses, but these master planned communities going back to Stonebridge and Lantana and, of course, now Light Farms and this massive Walsh project that's west of Fort Worth. Tony Ruggieri joins us right now. Good to have you with us.
Hi, David. Glad to be back on the show. Thank you.
So you guys don't think out 6 to 9 months. I mean, you guys are thinking years. This Walsh is going to be... You're going to be an old man when Walsh is, you know, is built out. So you can't look at the short term. But tell me about the short term right now. Is it slowing down at all?
You know, if there's a slowdown, we haven't seen it. In fact, we've actually seen home sales accelerate through the summer, which has been a really fantastic turn of events. I think in a large part due to the drop in the interest rates. We're over a percentage point lower than we were this time last year, and that's really helped the market.
And the home builders, of course, those are really, I guess, your clients are the home builders. You're doing all the amenities and laying out all the groundwork for them. And home builders had a bad habit of going through nasty cycles. And, you know, one little recession and you'd wipe them all out. Mm-hmm. Are there still a lot of good, solid, independent home builders?
There are some really great home builders that have been in this market for a very long time that are large regional builders. And then we have some really good national builders as well that are in this space. And so I think we have a solid group, and we've been enjoying this ride over the last few years with them.
You know, there was a time when it really looked like, and I know you have like K-Hob Nanian out there and stuff like that, but that Pulte and KB and going back to Don Horton and, you know, and D.R. Horton, that those guys were really just going to squeeze everybody else out. Mm-hmm. But there's been a proliferation now of regional builders, local builders.
Yeah, groups like Highland Homes that have been strong regional builders for a very long time continue to be very strong in this market, and they survived the downturn and have come out stronger.
So tell me about what you're building. I mean, you build, you know, to me, way out in Salina and way over in, you know, in Walsh, west of Fort Worth and a lot of places. But you've done some of the, you've dabbled in these sort of work live play areas. You know, you've got some townhomes that you were building in West Legacy. What's the future?
So we focus, I mean, we'll probably talk about the quantity and the scale of these master plan communities at some point, but we focus a lot on the quality as well and the quality of life for the residents that live there, and ensuring that the homeowners and their families have great, deep experiences in the community and have plenty of opportunities to learn new things and build relationships amongst themselves and also with their neighbors.
But the interesting thing about this latest wave of sort of work-live play is that theoretically you can buy one of your townhomes in West Legacy and, you know, walk to work or come home for lunch, you know, and go back out. Whereas if you're in Walsh or in Salina, I would think that virtually everybody out there has, you know, a significant commute of some sort.
Well, I think the Plano market has evolved, and we're in the next generation of Plano, and we're starting to see the employment centers and all of the restaurants move out there to be close to the residents. And I think we'll see that same thing over time in the Salina market and the West Fort Worth market. That's certainly the goal from a entertainment and activities and job center standpoint. I mean, I think everyone is aligned, both the boomers and the millennials, on wanting to have their entire world close to them so they spend less time in the car, more time with their family.
You know, I noticed you guys have been out there in across from North Park, right, and over by Top Golf and that group forever. And you've moved downtown. You physically have relocated Republic downtown. It's a 50-year-old company, and you picked it up and moved it back downtown. What's that about?
The Cheesecake Factory is great, and it has a very robust menu, but after 20 years, it starts to get a little old. And we really wanted to offer the same thing that we're trying to offer to our residents by bringing employment centers into our communities and restaurants and markets and things for them to do. We wanted the same thing for our employees. And so moving downtown for us was an opportunity to get in a location where you can step out the door and have plenty of places to eat and go grab drinks after work, et cetera.
Does this mean we're going to see Republic active you know, in an urban area?
Well, this generation is the most diverse generation in the history of our country, and I think their desire to live in different environments is greater than other generations. And so I think as we look out over our long-term careers, I think redevelopment at some point would make sense for us. I don't think we're there now, but potentially in the future.
You know, your point is interesting. I mean, that I think you're making is that you can coexist. There was a sense that, you know, downtown was going to be popular. The millennials were going to get there until they got married and decided to start to have children, and then they're going to move out. But the fact is they seem to be staying. And now the schools are having to be built.
Yeah, we tend to polarize things a lot and try to look at things as a binary one or zero. Everyone in the millennial generation is going to stay in town or everyone's going to move out to the suburbs. The reality is it's a mix. And it's very diverse. And some people want to stay and some people want to move out. And we want to be there to provide options for both of those.
And with all the in-migration, I mean, you're certainly not getting a homogenous group. I mean, it's a diverse group coming
Absolutely.
From different places.
Yeah, and somebody moving from Kentucky for Toyota is going to be different than someone moving from California for Toyota. And what they're looking for will be different and diverse. And, you know, it's interesting that we led the nation in employment growth. We had 116,000 new jobs or somewhere around there last year. And I've heard, you know, third quarter 19, it's the same kind of trailing 12-month number. But we also have to focus on the residents that have lived here and that have grown up here and that have jobs here, because we're looking at home price appreciation that's outstripping wage appreciation, wage growth. And so it's great if you're relocating from California, but if you live here and you've already been working here, it's becoming less and less affordable to get a new home here. And that's why I think the entire market is starting to focus on affordability in these home offerings.
Yeah, and you have mixed communities. I mean, I've looked at it. There's some homes available in the 200s and some homes available that are, you know, $1 million plus.
Yeah, in Light Farms, for example, I think our entry price point right now is in the 230s, and we go all the way up into the nines. And in Walsh right now, the entry price point, well, originally it's risen, and with the new phase, we'll be back at high 200s, and that community goes up to 2 million.
As a developer, can you avoid that stigma from the 60s and 70s and into the 80s of the cookie cutter, the, you know, same house with the same chimney in the front and two car garage on the right hand side, and that you see in a lot of developments?
Yeah, the key to building a really robust sense of community is to have diversity in the community, diversity of life stages and ages, and for us, housing types as well. And so in Walsh, we built a pattern book that the builders have to follow that forces a diversity of distinct architectural styles. So they're not all building the exact same house over and over
again. But are the same builders building 10 houses on the same street?
Yes.
But they are building different houses?
Yes, they have to build a Mediterranean and a Tudor and a Colonial Revival and have distinct architecture.
And you can dictate that. I like that.
Yes.
So what about amenities? That's one of the things we've talked about in the past, that, you know, you've got the, you know, farmers markets that mm-hmm. that show up in your places, or you've got, what is it in Walsh, sort of a craft warehouse where you've got 3D printers and people can work with wood. What are the amenities right now that people want?
I think opportunities for people to gather together. And so in Light Farms, we have a restaurant and a market, and we have a lot of public open space where we can host events and obviously pools, tennis courts, and pickleball courts. In Walsh, we have a makerspace, which is where you can learn woodworking or electronics or 3D printing. And you can, it's interesting, we see a lot of grandfathers and grandsons together working in the makerspace. We have a co-working facility, we have a market and a gas station. And just finding ways for collision, both amongst within the family and then also with their neighbors.
So you build something like that to get them out of their houses, mm-hmm. but you also own your own telecom company so that you can have high-speed internet so people can stay at home. I like
that. Yeah, I mean, I think internet today is just, it's the fourth utility. You know, we experienced this in our office move. We had a moment where we weren't sure we were going to have internet. And it was like the sky was falling. We can't operate our business without internet today. And I think it's on par with power or gas or anything else. So We wanted to make sure that we had competitive internet for the residents of Walsh, not only today, but 50 years from now.
So, you're Walsh west of Fort Worth, you're Salina, which is, I think, in Oklahoma. How many miles do you put on your car in a year?
It's not too bad, probably in the 14,000 to 18,000 range.
That's not bad at all. Well, I'm glad to see the housing market is still robust around here for a while. Tony Ruggieri's co-CEO of Republic Property Group. It's always good to visit with you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. To hear more of our interview with Tony Ruggieri, I go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.